racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Thanks for joining us in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We'll go inside the stories on the PGA Tour and from around the world of golf. I'm Bob Bupka, very proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him a lot better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, Patrick Cantlay at the Memorial Jacks Tournament. What a big week for the young man that has battled back from so many adversities.
No doubt about it. Real clinic he put on Sunday. You know, nobody was able to necessarily mount a charge. It looked like early on that Keimer was going to break through with his first victory in a long time, but Cantlay seized the opportunity, took care of business, got to shake Jack's hand. And wasn't that cool? Jim Nance tried to his best to kind of, you know, he didn't want to overplay the relationship that Jack Nicklaus and Patrick Cantlay had, but you could tell on that 72nd hole as he shook Mr. Nicklaus's hand that they have a connection. So this is really big for him. You could tell how pleased Jack was. And now, you know, we head up north to Canada, but I think most people are already heading out west to Pebble.
Yeah, Jay, and the one thing about that Sunday for Cantlay, I mean, the fire has 64, and that's the lowest final round ever shot at the Memorial Tournament by the winner of the event. And I think Jack, and you've known Jack for a long time, I've known him for a long time, he has a soft spot in his heart for quality human beings. And with what Cantlay went through, I mean, he comes out of UCLA. He's a surefire, can't miss, number one amateur in the world for 54 weeks, just about unheard of. And then all of a sudden, warming up on a range, he feels a pain in his back, turns out to be a broken back, just to keep it simple. And then the horror of all horrors, crossing a street with his teammate from high school, his best friend, his caddy, when a hit-and-run driver hits Chris, and Patrick had to endure having somebody that close to him literally die in his arms. Just real heartbreaking stuff.
You know, Bob, I saw Sarah Haas, the grandmother of Bill Haas, a couple of weeks ago at a function for Bob Golby, and she almost broke down talking about how tough it's been for Billy. He was a passenger in a car of a guy he didn't even know, really, per se. I mean, can you imagine being with your best friend and one minute he's there and the next minute he gets hit by a car? I mean, you talk about dealing with adversity. You mentioned the back situation. Congratulations to Patrick Cantlay. My buddy here in St. Louis, Skip Burtmeyer, one of the best mid-amateur players in the country, he said, you wait, this might be the one that busts him through to that next level. We will see.
Yeah, and let's give a listen now to what Jack Nicklaus had to say.
I've always been a fan of Patrick's. I thought he had a great amateur career. He's had his problems in the middle. I see him a lot at down at the Bears Club. Patrick's a member down there, and I like to see the young guys play well. I like to see them come along, and if they need any help, I'd like to give them help. But you know, anything that I would have given Patrick has been about that much, okay? And I told him when he came in, he walked off the 15th green, and I said to him earlier in the week, I said, let's figure out how to finish this golf tournament, you know, and enjoy it. And he walked off the 15th green with a smile, and I said, I think he's enjoying it. And, he usually gets himself tense, or he would not maybe think that. But it looks like that from the outside, and I don't. Sometimes you see things from the outside because you understand where you have been and what you have done, and what maybe my feelings wouldn't be the same as his, but you understand how to finish a golf tournament and what kind of an attitude you need to come down the stretch. And I was trying to help him with that, and I don't know whether I helped him or not helped him, but he won.
Well, I think you helped him, Jack. Stop being modest, because we know you helped him. And Jack said he gave him an inch. Well, I'd rather have an inch from Jack Nicklaus than 10 miles from just about anybody else. I mean, you could hear the affection in Jack's voice, Jay.
Well, and you could see it when the two shook hands. I mean, it really, as I said, Nance tried to, you know, Nance didn't want to go overboard. He didn't want to say these guys are best buddies or whatever, but clearly they had a relationship. And, you know, Cantlay, if you were tracking people, he finished tied for ninth at the Masters. He finished tied for third at the PGA. So signs were pointing in that direction for him to get his second win, but he did it against a stellar group of players.
He absolutely did, and here's what he had to say after that victory.
My game's been really good all year, and my scrambling's been unbelievable. And, you know, I had a good mindset all day. I kept giving myself positive thoughts and told myself just to focus and make smart decisions and really stay committed, and I was able to do that all day. Yeah, I love the golf course, so that really helps. And coming to a place I've had success before, I really feel comfortable around here, and I really like it. And playing a golf course you enjoy and you feel comfortable on, I can't tell you how big a difference it is than playing some of the other places.
Yeah, Patrick Cantlay, I think what you said just a couple of minutes ago, Jay, that this could open up the floodgates. I mean, he has that kind of talent, and now we know he's a hard worker. The one ingredient that you need an abundance of, obviously, is confidence. I think when you win at Jack's place and you get congratulated by Jack, got to believe your confidence level goes up just a little.
Oh, he's got to be on fire heading into the U.S. Open. However you say that, and if I said to you, Bob, Koepka plays his best and Cantlay plays his best, you're going to tell me, well, give the trophy to Koepka.
Well,
right?
I'm just curious as how you knew that, Mr. Randolph, but you know a lot of things, and you're certainly right about that. And I'll give you a good reason why I would say that, because he's done it in majors
right.
already, okay? I mean, if you put
four out of the last eight.
Yeah, and if you put their golf games on a level playing field, you would have to say the better chance has to go to somebody that's walked that mile. And Koepka.
But that's why we play him.
And that's why we play him, because we don't know what's going to happen out there. Let's look at some of the other guys that I thought really showed up at Muir Field, played some great golf. Adam Scott and Martin Kaymer, a couple of guys that are real class talent. Kaymer, a couple of major victories. Adam Scott, a Masters title. Good to see both those guys because they're good guys. I love seeing them back playing some great golf.
Disappointment for Kaymer in the final round, not playing the way that he obviously had wanted to. He only shot level par that day. He'd had to have shot 400 to get a piece of a playoff. Adam Scott did shoot 400, and he just continues to look like, you know, where's my trophy? Where's mine? I see all these other guys getting it. He looks fantastic. He just ran into a hotter golfer. Kevin Streelman played fantastic. Bob, you know, you had no ties from 2 to 6. Usually you got a bunch of ties. Mark Leishman was at 12-under. He finished 5th. Hideki, who's won there, again shows that he's got form, but how much form? You know, he still finished 7 back, or 8 back of the champions. So, I mean, you know, and then there's Spieth, 3 good rounds, and then kind of a, you know, okay on Sunday. And then we're left with Tiger Woods, Bob, who you never thought was going to have a chance to win the golf tournament on Sunday, but made the early coverage very interesting because he was going bananas. If not for a double bogey, he finishes in a tie for 6 with Hideki, licking his chops towards the first tee at Pebble.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger played some outstanding golf, little doubt about that, and it was interesting to hear his comments after finishing.
You know, the goal today was to get to double digits and, you know, get something positive going into the Open, and I got to double digits. I just didn't stay there. But overall, it was a great day. I hit the ball really well and made some nice putts.
By the way, we will be seeing Jason Duffner, a former PGA champion, out at Pebble Beach. He qualified this past Monday in that 36-hole qualifying.
It's hard to believe he's got to qualify, isn't it?
It just goes to show you, what have you done for me lately, world, that the PGA Tour is all about. Well, there was another major championship played last week. It was the 74th U.S. Women's Open, actually held in your neck of the woods down there, Country Club of Charleston. I'm sure you've played there, have you, Jay?
Great historic old school layout. It was great to see that they got awarded the United States Women's Open. First time that the gals ever played for $1 million purse for the U.S. Women's Open. And I think it came across as the type of venue that they really enjoyed. And what do you know? Ali came on top. Jung Noon Lee 6.
I didn't hear that. Could you say that name again quickly?
It's Jung Yu Noon Lee 6, because there are six LPGA Tour players with the exact name. You might want to ask Hank Haney about that if you see him. But I don't understand the 6, because in all honesty, I don't follow that tour.
What about Lexi Thompson? Finished second there. A good showing by Lexi.
Absolutely. A very good showing. You know, there was a lot of good play. Again, I'm not here to judge. It's not on my radar. But God bless them. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the United States senior. You know, I was more interested in the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And maybe that's because of my age or whatever it may be. These girls can obviously play. It was great to see Maria Fassi. After the success she had, finishing runner-up at Augusta in her first professional event, make the cut, play very well. So the LPGA hopefully has some good things ahead of them, and congratulations to Lee Six.
Well, I want to say one thing, Jay. Good friends with Michael Wan, the LPGA commissioner. Certainly, would it be better on the LPGA Tour if we had some more outstanding stars, especially from the United States? But when you take a look at the LPGA and its global presence, it is very healthy. I mean, there's exciting news all around the globe for the LPGA players, and they are doing a great job. Michael Wan, just one of the best. All right, now time to preview the next national championship on our calendar. It'll be the Canadian Open, or better known as the RBC Canadian Open, going to be played at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Hamilton is in Ontario, Canada. Dustin Johnson defending. Final tune-up for Mr. Johnson before he heads to Pebble Beach.
Good golf course. I got to be there a long time ago for a Canadian Open, an RBC Canadian Open there. Old school golf course, good golf course. It's a good test before the United States Open. Dustin Johnson, the defending champion, four of the top six in the world ranking are in the field. So, again, as we've talked about the schedule, Bob, and, you know, a lot of guys played Memorial and said, that's going to be it. I'm going to work my way with a week off and get out and get ready for the United States Open at Pebble. You've got that other train of thought that says, hey, I'm going to play Jack's place, then I'm going to go up to that pretty good golf course up in Hamilton, Ontario, and then I'm going to take my chances at Pebble. So, you know, they don't seem to be hurt too bad by the field.
No, good point, Jay. And, of course, for our listeners, it's amazing. If you just take a poll of everybody playing on the PGA Tour and you ask them the ideal preparation for a major championship, you'll get quite a few that'll say, oh, I never want to play the week before a major. Tiger happens to be in that camp. And then, of course, you get a huge number that say, oh, I'd like to play the week before a major. And since Brooks Koepka is in that camp of playing a week before the major, and he's won, as you said earlier, four of the last eight. Four out of the last eight. Maybe you can have more guys saying, hey, maybe I should play the week before a major.
Bob, it was that Sunday round at Trinity Forest or Trinity Oaks down there in Dallas.
Trinity Forest.
And I mean, I watched him. He didn't win the golf tournament, But if anybody watched him and knew anything about golf, you certainly said to yourself, man, this guy is ready for the PGA Championship. And he was. So you can't complain with him. With his way of doing it, it'll be the first time Justin Thomas has played in the Canadian Open. He's trying to get back into rhythm coming off the injury. 26 Canadians, including Corey Connors, who won at the Valero Texas Open earlier this year, Adam Hadwin, who's always got game, and some young sticks like Mackenzie Hughes and Nick Taylor.
One point I want to make in case our listeners heard the news, Dustin Johnson parted ways with Claude Harmon as his swing coach. Claude, obviously the son of Butch Harmon. Maybe Dustin is thinking, wait a minute, maybe Claude's giving a little too much good advice to Brooks Koepka, and I'm not getting that advice, so I think I'll go back to Claude's dad, Butch Harmon. So Butch is going to take over, working with Dustin again. Pretty good battle going into Pebble Beach. Butch Harmon with Dustin Johnson, Claude Harmon with Brooks Koepka. Go to your corners, and we'll meet in the center of the ring.
We're only 9 weeks remain, and this is hard to believe. I'm going to say it again. We're only 9 weeks until the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's time to kind of put the pedal to the metal to have the shot at that $10 million bonus. And another thing, the RBC Canadian Open, Bob, is now part of the Open Championship qualifying series. And one of the bonuses this week in Canada, the top three players not otherwise qualified will earn berths to that historic British Open that we've talked about, Open Championship at Port Rush. As it relates to the FedEx Cup, boy, Kuchar needs that $10 million, doesn't he? Well, he's still atop the list, but Koepka is closing in on him. He's only 254 points behind Matt Kuchar. So, you know, it's game on, Bob.
Yeah, it really is. The thing that strikes me is when you say only 9 weeks remain till the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, when you get to this juncture in our careers and we start realizing the years are going by faster, man, I'm going to, you know, when I go to the concession stand, I'm going to see if they'll sell me half a box of popcorn. I don't want to waste any money on maybe a whole box.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the U.S. Open Championship next week at Pebble Beach. We're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa. You'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Don't forget you can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. You can find Mr. Bubka at Bob Bubka, VOG, and that VOG stands for Voice of Golf, which he's been doing for a long time. He's seen some U.S. Opens at Pebble Beach, and that's where we're going to turn our attention as we're just a week away from the 119th United States Open. Bob, earlier this week, here in the United States and also in Surrey, England, there were 75 qualifying spots up for grabs, and guys from all over the country and even beyond, as I said, in Surrey, England, where the international qualifier was, qualified. Some of the players and notables that did good for Mike Weir. Mike Weir loves Pebble Beach, by the way. He always seemed to play well when his game was good at Pebble Beach. That's a huge thing for him to qualify. Luke Donald, Johnny Vegas, Sam Saunders, Arnold's grandson. Bob mentioned Jason Duffner earlier. And Ollie Schneider-Jans. He may have even been the medalist. He was the leading at one time at his qualifier. It's also tough. And that fiery South African / Slovakian, Rory Sabatini made it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I'm running a check myself to see if I have any relatives that came from Slovakia. Because I'll be in touch with Rory. Maybe we can be his partner and comprise the Slovakian golf team. We may qualify for the Olympics. Jay, you better check into that, too, because you got a little more stick than me. So I think Rory would rather have you.
I'm not sure who he's going to find to partner with him, but Rory's an interesting cat. There's no doubt about it. He's a fiery individual, but he's been playing some darn good golf lately. Some notables who missed, guys who tried to make it and didn't. Bill Haas, who I referenced in the show earlier this year, former USGA amateur champion Ryan Moore. He will not get a ticket to Pebble. Neither will Steve Stricker, Ryan Palmer, Lee Westwood, Brian Harmer. And hate to see my man HV3 not make it in. As good as he's been playing, it's hard to believe he will not be at the U.S. Open. But that's why it's so tough, Bob. You got to, you know, for almost over half the field, you almost got to earn your way.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to two of the names that you mentioned, Jay, pretty interesting as far as I'm concerned. It's almost like we have a right-handed and left-handed version of the same type of golfer, and I'm talking about Mike Weir and Luke Donald. And don't rule their chances out. I mean, Pebble's not a long golf course. It has real tiny greens. I mean, either one of those guys gets on fire, anything can happen. But congratulations to Mike Weir, Luke Donald, Ollie Schneider-Jams. Of course, he's got Damon Green on his bag, so he'll have plenty of experience in the form of his caddy when he gets to the Open. And of course, now, since Brooks Koepka has posed the theory that maybe it's easier to win majors than, you know, a regular tour event, it seems like more players are jumping on that bandwagon, including last week's winner at Memorial. And here's what Cantley had to say about playing in majors.
I really like major championship golf. I feel like it suits my game. As far as I'm concerned, the rough can't be long enough, the fairways can't be narrow enough, the greens can't be fast enough, and so I really like Pebble Beach. It's a golf course I've played multiple times, and I feel really comfortable around there, and I'm excited to see what it looks like.
You know, I want to take this time to wish the best of luck to John Bodenheimer from the USGA. He's going to be setting up that golf course, and there'll be a lot of eyeballs on the course set up, and I hope, and I have a lot of confidence in John that it's going to come out on top. But the USGA needs a break, needs a great U.S. Open, and certainly the possibility exists being at Pebble.
Well, and I think if you recall, other than wind in 92, which changed the whole golf tournament and allowed Tom Kite to win, and I'm not saying it was just a win. Tom Kite had to golf his ball. Most of the Opens at Pebble Beach have been pretty solid. Now, we have to talk about this quote from Mr. Mickelson. I've played, 29 U.S. Opens? 100% of the time, they have messed it up if it doesn't rain. Rain is the governor. That's the only governor they have. If they don't have a governor, they don't know how to control themselves. Ironic, coming from the guy who couldn't control himself last year on the greens at Shinnecock. That's one of the biggest, dumbest, bumblehead statements this Hall of Famer could make. I mean, shut up. Play the golf course. Then you got Rory chiming in with, if they can't redeem themselves at Pebble, then there could be a problem. What problem? You don't want to play for the money? I got to tell you, Bob, if Sam Snead were still around, or Ben Hogan, or some of the old school guys, they'd be slapping these guys in the face. Because the USGA has had a couple of mishaps, and we both like Mike Davis a lot. They've taken the reins away from Mike. You just mentioned Mr. Bodenheimer. They've got a great venue. Everything will be all right. I don't see, you know, this is talking about a rebellion, or they might boycott the U.S. Open. Get out of here. Shut up and play golf.
Well, I know one thing. We're certainly not going to get any email suggestions suggesting that I take the muzzle off of Jay Randolph Jr. so that we could hear how he really feels. Actually,
well, I mean, come on.
No,
I mean,
very.
First of all, Bob, in those 29 U.S. Opens, he's finished second six times. So, you know, the governor must not be hurting him too bad. You know, he shot 68 or 69, I can't remember, in the first round in 1992, and then missed the cut in his first professional event. Like I said, he was the embarrassment along with the USGA last year. He needs to just, Steve Loy needs to say, hey, boy, you made a lot of money. Let's just keep things low key till we get out on the Champions Tour.
You know what I worry about when I hear comments like that? And you know, of course, the dream story in golf certainly would be Phil finally winning a U.S. Open, becoming the sixth player in history to have won all four majors. But when I hear talk like that, Jay, I'm afraid that Phil is not very confident in his game right now, and he's kind of laying the groundwork if he doesn't do well. And I hate seeing that. I mean, because he could be one of the biggest stories in golf, you know, over the last 10, 20 years. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since the last guy joined that elite group of
2000. You and I were there at St. Andrews.
No, you're right. That's right. Good memory. That was only 19 years ago, my friend. So, so we'll see. You know, you never know about Phil. I mean, you never know.
I mean, you don't. He might get there that week and something click. I actually hope it does. I just think this talk about boycotting the U.S. Open. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, this is still the United States Golf Association. Yeah, have they made some mistakes? No question. Did they make a mistake at Olympic? Yes. Have they made mistakes twice at Shinnecock? Yes. They like to push it to the edge. That's what we all used to yearn for. We used to yearn for guys not being able to get it out of the rough. And so then they make a U.S. Open easy, and you and I look at each other like, what the heck's going on? This isn't a tournament we know. So they're not in the easiest of positions. I think they'll do just fine at Pebble Beach. And you look at some of the others, Bob. I mean, here we go. Rory, Dustin, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Tiger, Ricky Fowler, DeChambeau. I mean, we're not even getting to Finau. Or Jason Day. You know, you got so many great players. My question for you, going for his third in his row and his fifth and nine, is it Koepka's to lose? It's hard to say that at the start of a major championship, but my goodness, the way he's...
Well, you know, it's if he wins three in a row, I mean, it really not going to be that big a deal because in 03, 04... And 05, of course, I'm talking 1903, 1904, 1905. Willie Anderson, the only player ever to win three U.S. Opens in a row. I can't say it's Koepka's to lose. I mean, there's so much talent on the PGA Tour. You don't know about, you know, catching a break with the wrong side of the draw, you know, good weather versus bad weather, early versus late. I mean, a lot of variables before you get to Sunday and in the hunt. Now, if Koepka is anywhere around the lead going into Sunday, Now I really like his chances of joining my buddy there, Willie Anderson. You know, that one three in a row, well over 100 years ago, pretty hard to go. Before we go any further,
I'm going to surprise you. We're going to make our picks, and I've been tracking him. I've been watching him. I've been talking about him. He's been disappointing. It's not going to be a grand slam, but it's going to be his fourth major. Bob, I think Jordan Spieth's going to win the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Wow.
Are you there?
I'm just putting my microphone back on.
I just got a feeling. I just got a feeling he's knocking on the door. Maybe he's kicking a little harder on that door, and maybe he's going to knock the sucker in at Pebble Beach.
Well, let me tell you this much. Jordan Spieth makes the winning putt on the 72nd hole on Sunday to win this U.S. Open. Listen for that aircraft that's going to be landing nearby, picking you up. I'm taking you to Vegas, baby. We're going to Vegas. We're going to have some fun.
Very good. You're very good when it comes to handicapping major championships. Who is on the top of your list as we move closer to Pebble?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me who the favorite is, I am going to go with Koepka. I mean, I don't see any reason why he doesn't win. I mean, he's just been dominant. Actually, a closer look at the Masters, and you would have had Koepka winning down there. So I'll go with him. And then I hate to even say it's an outside pick. But it's somebody that really hasn't been playing well, almost in the category of Jordan Spieth. I'm going to go with my man Bryson DeChambeau to get the job done.
Whoa. So you got a couple of left field picks, if you will, from Bob and I. You got DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth. Well, time for another short break, and when we return, it'll be time to hear what the mouth that roars has to say, not only about the U.S. Women's Open, but he also picks who he likes at the U.S. Open. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome, longtime guest and founder and publisher of Morning Read. And I want to begin, Alex, by certainly complimenting you on the accuracy of one of the statements you made in First Take, your new video feature on Morning Read, when you properly identified yourself as rambling. That was very accurate on your part. You ought to be congratulated.
Hey, you got to tell the truth, Bobby.
Well, I know you have to tell the truth, but do you have to ramble to tell the truth? That's really the question.
Well, I think when you get into one of these just thought patterns that just, you know, you're just running and you just don't want to stop it. So it was a little over 7-minute thought pattern. So, yes, I think that though I recognize at some point in the discussion I might have been rambling, I wanted to make sure everybody understood that I wasn't, like, you know, crazy and that I did understand I was rambling, but I was still in that consciousness phase. I had to keep going.
Of course, everything was focused around Hank Haney, the comments he made prior to the start of the Women's Open. Certainly, the best way to describe the comments are insensitive, and that's probably being kind. But before we even talk about anything else, I do want to bring up the state of women's golf. This week, we're celebrating Women's Golf Day. Is the LPGA Tour suffering due to a lack of superior U.S. players at the highest level of the game?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm not sure I would characterize the LPGA Tour as suffering. What I would suggest is that they certainly could always do better, like everyone could do better. Would it help them to do better if, in fact, there were more recognizable American players on the top of leaderboard on a weekly basis? Not only recognizable American players, but players that were stars. Because I think it doesn't really matter if they're American or not. And we know that from the fact that Annika Sorensen was not an American. Lorena Ochoa was not an American. I mean, even Nancy Lopez, even though she was an American, she was of Hispanic descent. You know, people will follow a sport if they're stars. And, you know, since Lorena Ochoa, maybe the only star I can even think of might be NB Park. I mean, you know, Stacey Lewis was a kind of a star that fell out of the sky very quickly. So really, NB Park is the only one that I can think of. And even in that particular case, she didn't last that long. And so if you look at the women's game today, there is no star particularly. And Lexi Thompson basically has said that she couldn't handle the pressures that she was going under, being looked upon as maybe a potential star. Paula Creamer's lost whatever game she really has. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it's American players per se. I just think it's the lack of star power.
What's your take on Lydia Ko? We saw her burst upon the scene. It looked like she was going to dominate for the next 20 years, and poof, it seems to have escaped her somehow.
Yeah, and there's no... I don't think, at least in my mind, again, I don't cover this game, that part of the game, as much as I do the men's game. You know, we could say the same question for Jordan Spieth. Why is Jordan Spieth now not what he was a couple of years ago? And there's a lot of discussion, people talking about it a lot, Jordan being frustrated by the discussion. And I'm sure Lydia Ko is the same way. And there's really no good answer, you know, why that happened with Lydia. Now, obviously, a lot of things have changed in her game. She's gone to different instructors. She's had different equipment. She has different caddies. I mean, all those things are can be detrimental. And when you do them all at once, you can't pinpoint what one it was that made the difference. So I think that's part of the problem. I think it's similar to Michelle Wee, who had a similar issue as well, where she was, you know, came out as a house of fire, and then all of a sudden her game went sideways. And if not for winning the Women's Open at Pinehurst, I mean, Michelle Wee really has had a very, very mediocre career.
Well, speaking of careers that have literally taken off, Patrick Cantlay, who a few years back certainly was in the same category as Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, and then, you know, sustained that back injury, a broken back, basically, and then the tragedy involving his high school teammate, his caddy, his best friend in a hit-and-run accident. It seems like Cantlay is now back to what many people predicted would happen a few years back. And to me, on the outside, certainly looks like he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I mean, we always thought that. I don't know if people remember as much as you characterized him along in the same sentences as Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, but in reality, when Patrick Cantlay decided to come out of UCLA, he was the number one guy. Every equipment manufacturer wanted Patrick Cantlay. This is when equipment manufacturers are actually, you know, paying a lot for players that were coming out, and everybody wanted Patrick Cantlay. Jordan Spieth was a far third or fourth comparatively, and you're right. I mean, because of the back injuries and the different things that have happened to Patrick over time, he's not been able to compete at the levels that most people thought he would be able to compete at. So now with the win at Memorial, you just, you know, as we are want to do, we will now all of a sudden anoint this guy as maybe the next guy. And what's going to have to happen now in Patrick Cantlay's case is he's going to have to show up, and he's going to have to show up week on week. And he seems to do that to a large extent, and really has had struggles getting over the finish line like almost anybody on this tour. I mean, I think it's so hard to win on the PGA Tour, no matter how well you play. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Patrick Cantlay. He's going to be at the U.S. Open. He's certainly going to be a guy that people are going to be looking at. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to show up on this tour, and it means that you have to win. And we can talk all about Patrick Cantlay winning at Memorial, and a year from now, we'll see where he is. But my guess is that he will be just like everyone else. He will find a way to maybe win another one, he will have a couple top tens, but at the end of the day, he's not going to be the player probably that he came out of UCLA by, because that he's got this, he's got some age, and certainly he's got some, you know, physical scar tissues in regards to his back. But let's see what happens.
As we say, thanks to Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Just 10 seconds left. Give me a name. Look forward to at Pebble Beach.
I am loath to give you any other name than Brooks Koepka right now, because until Brooks Koepka can show me that he can't be, that he can be beaten, or in fact that he can beat himself, which is clear, he cannot beat himself. Someone has to beat him. Until somebody shows you they can beat him, he is going to be the guy I'm going to pick.
Sounds good to me. Look forward to working with you at the U.S. Open. Alex Maselli, thanks for joining us in the Grow Room with Bob and Jay.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.